You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Monday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. I got a puppy. Oh, that's right. If you were listening in the first hour, you know that I got a puppy. If you weren't listening in the first hour, I got a puppy. Her name is Winnie. I don't know if I got the puppy by choice, but my wife is very convincing, and we ended up getting the puppy from the same place that we got Penny, our house dog. East Coast Canine Rescue did a wonderful job. Great vetting process there, and picked up Winnie on Saturday. Had to drive 2 hours to pick her up and then drive 2 hours back, and I've got a puppy. So if you get a chance and you're interested in a rescue, East Coast Canine Rescue did a wonderful job. And we have some dog biscuits, too. Penny's got her own biscuits there, and you can go to the website. Plus, we have hand-picked partners that we're going to share in the profits with. So they're called Penny's Bang Biscuits. Welcome to the program, already in progress, best and worst of the weekend. What you saw that you liked, you didn't like. We'll give you hours coming up. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. We touched on a variety of things in the first hour. Talked about the Nets losing their game against the Miami Heat. I'm more surprised when I recognize who's on the floor for the Nets. Nobody cares about the MVP right now because James Harden isn't playing and LeBron's not playing. When LeBron comes back, then this will be a topic. Until then, it's not going to be. The Dodgers are the best team in baseball, 13-3. The Yankees at 5-10. European soccer teams talking about creating a super league. And I think we could see this in college football. It's a topic that we'll talk about coming up. Julian Edelman has retired. I don't think that he'll try to latch on to the Buccaneers. I do think he's truly retired. And the conversation, the question comes up again, is Julian Edelman a Hall of Famer? We've done this for the last 2 years, maybe 3 years, we've talked about Julian Edelman. And I'll say the same thing. Julian Edelman is not a Hall of Famer, not even close. But he's a legend. And I think we need to start looking at these certain athletes who did things that are legendary. Robert Horry is legendary. He's not going in the Hall of Fame, but he's a legend. Postseason Hall of Fame, okay. They don't have those. Julian Edelman is a legend, not a Hall of Famer. Great postseason numbers. I think we can all agree on that. What he did in the Super Bowl to be a Super Bowl MVP. There are three players in NFL history with 600 or more regular season receptions and a Super Bowl MVP. Two of those players are Hall of Famers, or at least Jerry Rice is one. Hines Ward is more of a Hall of Famer than Julian Edelman. And what happens is when you talk about this topic, then you diminish something that somebody does. Julian Edelman's not even Wes Welker in the regular season. In the postseason, he's up there with Jerry Rice. He's a Patriot Hall of Famer, but he's not a Hall of Famer. He's a legend. And I think in all of these sports, we should start distinguishing somebody is a legend and somebody's a Hall of Famer. There's no shame in being just a legend. Yes,
it feels kind of odd, though, to say that a legend doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame.
Roger Maris is a legend. He's not a Hall of Famer. He had two great seasons. That's it. Yeah, McLovin.
I kind of think Roger Maris should be in the Hall of Fame. Just I'm not a duration guy. Like, isn't one brilliant feat enough?
No. No, he had one magical season. I mean, Joe Namath got in because of one game. He won Super Bowl III. Because his statistics aren't great. More interceptions than touchdowns. I know it's happened. And I know people are going to bring up, Terrell Davis. Well, Terrell Davis rushed for 2,000 yards. He won two Super Bowls. He was an MVP in the league. Terrell Davis is sort of like Gale Sayers. I get that if people want to argue that. I just don't think Julian Edelman was a great regular season player. He was great in the postseason. The Broncos never had a running game. They got Terrell Davis. They won a couple of Super Bowls. That's not a coincidence. Yeah, Paulie.
All right, this, stay with me on this one.
Okay.
Could you compare Julian Edelman's career at all to Eli Manning's career? Eli Manning, he made a couple Pro Bowls, but he never led the league in any statistical category except for interceptions. He didn't lead in throwing yardage, touchdowns thrown. Mm-hmm. He led the league in interceptions thrown three times.
Yeah.
But he's got two rings, and those two rings got him in the Hall of Fame. Edelman was a very good regular season player. Good. You know, like he had 90 catches, 100 catches a bunch of times. They're very similar. You know, Eli Manning's regular season career, is he's not sniffing the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Not even close.
He might, because he was a compiler, just like Philip Rivers.
Yeah.
Like he did have over 300 touchdown passes. Yeah, McLeod.
I got one. How about the New York Yankees' Bernie Williams? I don't think he's Hall of Fame, but he's like second all time in career postseason home.
Legend. Okay. Legend.
Yeah. And he's, you know him in New York. And
yeah. Jorge Posada. Not a Hall of Famer, but a legend for the Yankees. Yeah, Paul.
All right. Going old time, Lynn Swann is in the Hall of Fame. Lynn Swann made a couple Pro Bowls.
You can't compare them.
No, not Lynn Swann and Julian Edelman.
No.
They're both known for their postseason heroics.
But Swanee played at a time when you might have 350 receptions. He played on a great offense with Bradshaw, with Franco, the offensive line, John Stallworth. It was a different era. And I understand people are going to, you can't, it's hard to argue generation, you know, from one generation to another, because it was just different back then. You know, Bob Greasy is not a Hall of Famer in today's game with today's stats. But back then he was. Bart Starr is not a Hall of Famer. He was the quarterback for great teams, but his numbers weren't great. It's just different. And I think that it's not the best way to argue, because we do want to compare generations. But Julian Edelman is a legend. Yes, Paul.
I have a quick Edelman bet. Okay. I will take a pie to the face if Julian Edelman doesn't try to play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay, what does try mean?
He gets a physical and tries to play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2021.
Does anybody want to take Paulie up on pie to the face, Julian Edelman, Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Back row, McLevin, no. Fritzy?
So they agree with me.
I kind of think Paulie could be onto something. Like, I wouldn't bet against this happening.
Patriot apologist Seton O'Connor?
Man, it sure does sound... You know, he did too big of a retirement. If he was just cut and sat out and maybe
Gronkowski.
Waited 6 months. But Rob Gronkowski could still play.
Yeah,
he just chose not to.
Yeah. Gronk just lost a lot of weight. But he wasn't hurt.
Oh, Edelman could find a few doctors who could make things work.
Wow.
He has in the past.
That's part of the problem. Yes,
Edelman was actually good last year.
Does that factor in with Edelman? That he got busted for PEDs.
Why would it matter for him and not everybody else?
Well, how many players have been busted for PEDs and got into the Hall of Fame? Because Rodney Harrison's not in the Hall of Fame. And Rodney Harrison's far more of a Hall of Famer than Julian Edelman is, in my opinion. Rodney Harrison was a great player. But he was coming back from an injury and got caught with PEDs. Do we have any in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? I mean, I'm sure there are guys yet who use them, but I don't know if anybody got suspended. Yeah, McLevin.
I feel like Antonio Gates will become the first one. I've read that at least.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anyone else. I had forgotten Edelman got busted. What do you guys remember what he took?
All of it. He took all of it.
I have no idea. Yeah.
You're right.
A lot of it.
Like, as you guys said, like, I mean, if you really started thinning out the Pro Football Hall of Fame, did you once tell us the number of percentage you thought might be on steroids in the NFL or HGH?
No, HGH. But that was a current NFL quarterback who told me about his team. I want to make sure we get that right. Because we were talking about HGH. I don't know how we got started on it, but we started talking about drugs in the NFL. And do they make HGH legal and have it under, you know, doctor's care? And he said, this quarterback said, I'm going to guess 60 to 70, maybe 75% of my teammates are on HGH. Now, a good reporter would have said, are you on HGH? I thought, well, he is sharing with me, and I appreciate him sharing this information, and I didn't ask that question. Yes, Paul.
I think Julius Peppers, the defensive end, he's probably going to the Hall of Fame,
yes.
Right? Early in his career, he was suspended 4 games for failing the drug test. They said it was ephedra, more like a stimulant, and it's never really stuck with them.
Yeah, but that covers up stuff.
There's a lot of questions.
Masking.
But he did it really early in his career, which is smart.
Masking. I mentioned this in the first hour of the show, just getting around to this. Had a source I talked to yesterday. We talked about a variety of things with the NFL because we had been on vacation. I got a puppy, by the way, when I was on vacation. And I was talking to him, you know, and I said, get me up to speed. What am I missing here? Is, you know, Mac Jones still going three? And he said, that's what I'm hearing. And, you know, they still, somebody's holding out for Trey Lance, who works with the Niners. And I said, okay. I said, give me some surprise guys. Give me somebody who might not be on somebody's radar, but I can tell my audience, on draft night, keep an eye on these players. And he said, all right, I got one for you. He is a wide receiver. You guys want to guess the sleeper? SEC wide receiver. McLevin?
Elijah Moore.
Elijah Moore is it.
Well, who is Elijah Moore, by the way? Because he's starting to pop into first-round mocks all over the place.
Ole Miss.
All right, game over.
Yep. No, I got one more.
Oh, okay.
Running back, ACC.
I know this one, too.
You're spoiling it.
Go ahead.
It's one of the two North Carolina kids.
Yes, Michael Carter.
Okay, so he's the second one, right? Javonte Williams is in first rounds.
Yeah. But these were just guys that, you know, I was told that these are some really good play. That game didn't last that long.
I didn't even get to hit the special music that I got for it.
So I'm reading these first round mock drafts, and this kid, Elijah Moore, is starting to pop into like the Kuipers and out of nowhere.
Yep. Yeah.
So.
But this is what happens. Everybody gets their turn. You know, look at the quarterbacks. You had Zach Wilson. Oh, you got to talk about Zach Wilson. Then you had Mac Jones. Got to talk about Mac Jones. Oh, my God, Justin Fields, what's going on here? Trey Lance, you can't pass on him. Now, all of a sudden, Trevor Lawrence. Wait a minute, he doesn't love football. Is that a negative? Is that a positive? It feels like all of these guys get their day or days or their week where we talk about them. And if you start to look at what kind of news was happening last week with Trevor Lawrence, the Sports Illustrated article comes out. In fact, we're going to talk to the author, Michael Rosenberg of Sports Illustrated, about Trevor Lawrence, because it kind of created a quarterback in full. Like, you know, I think I understood a little bit more about who Trevor Lawrence is, the person. This guy's been a star for a long, long time. And so when he says, hey, I don't play with a chip on my shoulder, well, he's so good that his freshman year, the starter, Kelly Bryant, they said, hey, you're going to lose your job. So he transfers, and then all of a sudden, you know, Trevor Lawrence lives up to the hype, which is really hard to do. Now he says, hey, I don't play with a chip on my shoulder. Hey, I don't play for awards. Uh-oh. Does he love the game? He reminds me of... And this is why I listened or read it differently than most people. It was less than 2 years ago when Andrew Luck decided there was something he liked more than football. He was 29 years of age, and he decided that he didn't want to play. And he was coming off a good season. That team was rounding into being a really good team. And he said, I don't want to play anymore. Did anybody question Andrew Luck having a chip on his shoulder? Because he was supposed to be the best prospect at that position since John Elway. His dad's a former quarterback, raised on the NFL, knew exactly what he was walking into. This is a guy who had a book club. This is a guy who wanted to go back to Stanford to complete his degree. I think in architectural design. So he didn't have a chip on his shoulder. Andrew Luck, you know, number one pick. Do I like my quarterback to have a chip on his shoulder? I do. Because I don't think it's a coincidence when you look at the great quarterbacks and the fact that Tom Brady still has a chip on his shoulder. Drew Brees still has a chip on his shoulder. Aaron Rodgers has a chip on his shoulder. Patrick Mahomes a chip on his shoulder. Where you're drafted, got a chip on your shoulder. Who passed you up? Dan Marino, Joe Montana, got a chip on your shoulder. I don't think it's a coincidence, because I do think you get to the point where you have to continue to motivate yourself. Nobody needs to motivate Tom Brady. He motivates himself. Dan Marino got passed up by all of these teams. First round. Dolphins took him. Joe Montana, third round pick. Aaron Rodgers, you going first or are you going last pick, first round? Patrick Mahomes, oh, you're going to take these quarterbacks over me? Deshaun Watson, same thing. You're going to take Mitchell Trubisky over me? They have a chip on your shoulder. Drew Brees, oh, I got to go in the second round? Yeah, Paul.
If Andrew Luck had an article come out about him with similar quotes when he was about to be drafted, a couple weeks being the surefire number one, and then 6 years later he retired, people say, like, how did you not see it back then? Sure. How do you? He said it before the draft.
Yeah.
Now, you know, again, they're pull quotes from an article. He said a lot of other stuff, Trevor Lawrence, but that's a similarity.
It's amazing to think the NFL draft used to take place in hotel conference rooms. In fact, I went to the 1984 NFL draft. That was in a hotel conference room. That's when they had their helmet phones, and guys would bring in football magazines. And that was their research. You would see these executives or somebody they were paying to answer the phone, and they would have football magazines. Street and Smith's. And then Mel Kiper, draft expert, changed everything. They didn't have a combine back then. Just so you know, Johnny Unitas didn't have a combine. Now, big-time quarterbacks get two pro days. Justin Fields, second one. Trey Lance is going to have his. So, it's interesting what is happening at that position. We know more, and it feels like we know less. I know everything about this. Oh, maybe I don't. What do you think Urban Meyer is thinking today? What do you think he thought when he read those comments from Trevor Lawrence? Because football is everything to Urban Meyer. So much so, he's put it ahead of his health. And now you get Trevor Lawrence. And also, Trevor Lawrence, I feel bad for him. He does this article. He got married this weekend. And I now pronounce you, wait a minute, you don't love football? No, just finish the ceremony here. Wait, you're not, you don't love awards? You know, like the preacher is there questioning his, yeah, Paul.
If I'm Trevor Lawrence, I would have tweeted out a picture of himself with his bride at night, like 2 a.m. reading the playbook. Like she's on the other side of the bed, ready to go. He's like, honey, I got to get some playbook time in. Tweet that out.
Yes, McLevin.
Yeah, I don't think he's too worried because it's draft season. So the guys who do the best talk the talk, never end up. Like Johnny Manziel sounded like he was, the way he interviewed, he was going to be the greatest quarterback ever. Like nobody, I don't think the coaches buy public quotes anyway. Like you said, it's weird that he let it out there, but do you believe when a quarterback says, oh, I'm really motivated, it doesn't mean anything?
No, but you have people, it's not an exact science. We've discussed that over the years. But it's still, there's still things that come up where you go, things that make you go, And that was one of those that people are going to go, well, he doesn't really love the game. You have to love the game. You have to be in there early. You got to consume it or it consumes you. And if you don't love it, when there is that moment where you go, you know what, maybe I'll just check out. Nobody thought that Andrew Luck was going to quit when he quit. No one. He had already gotten through the worst part of his career where he was banged up. He was coming off the fewest sacks in a season of his career, 18. And he had my boy Quentin Nelson blocking for him. They were just starting to round into shape. Got married, had a kid, and said, see ya. Yeah, Paulie.
If I'm Trey Lance on my pro day today, I tell people I have no other interests. I don't watch TV. I don't own a phone. I walk to school. I don't even own a car. I don't like girls.
No.
I don't like anybody. I just want to play football.
Yeah, but you can't say that. You know, when they have those questions when you do the interview, do dogs or cats?
Playbooks. That's all I like. Yeah. Playbooks. And
Playboy? No. Playbooks. Playbooks. Yes.
Wasn't there a thing a little while back where like coaches want athletes that played multiple sports because you can't be too consumed with one thing? Remember? No, you want the guy who's a little more well-rounded. It can't be all focused, specialized in one thing.
Some of the great quarterbacks in history played baseball and played baseball at a high level. They got drafted by Major League Baseball teams. John Elway, Archie Manning got drafted.
Tom Brady.
Russell Wilson Jr. III. I want you to be diversified. Absolutely. But we start to overthink it. And I'll go back to what I keep telling you, and it's only because it comes from a scout. It said people, you know, in this business, they overthink. They'll tell you, they won't draft somebody because of what they don't do. Instead of, what do you do well? And is that enough to take you? And he said people are overthinking Justin Fields. Like, he can't be that good. It's Ohio State's offense. You know, he runs a 4.440, you know. So then the work ethic came out. And it's such a lazy, lazy trope there. Not fair. But, you know, so that's why he's slipping? You know, I'm only going by what I was told, and that is NFL teams are overthinking Justin Fields. All right, we'll take a break. We'll talk to Michael Rosenberg. Mike wrote the profile on Trevor Lawrence. What did he take away from that conversation? We'll get to your phone calls coming up. I've been tardy on getting to Best and Worst of the Weekend. I'll get to that coming up. By the way, in-depth look at Michael Phelps' three-part Peacock original series, Medals, Memories, and More, streaming now. PeacockTV.com. Start streaming the entire series for free now. Paulie says, Michael Phelps is coming back.
As you put out the special on Peacock, then you announce it. Perfect timing,
wait,
Mike.
What was the bet?
I have to wear a Michael Phelps swimming outfit if he does not participate in this Olympics. And if he does, he has to both loan me a gold medal for a weekend and give me like something used in Olympics.
I thought that the bet was that he could swim faster than you if he wore a suit of armor,
right?
Like a Game of Thrones.
That's the payoff
in the pool. Yes, McLevin.
Yeah, it's a suit of armor bet. We're all looking forward to. I bet my house on Michael Phelps winning
Wouldn't
that race.
You love Michael Phelps in a Game of Thrones, you know, outfit, suit of armor, diving into the pool against
clunk, 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 clunk.
Yeah, Paul.
How long is it back and forth?
In 50.
50 total?
Yeah.
I'm not making it.
No.
The 50.
I have to have a lifeguard on duty with you.
Or water wings?
Yeah. All right, let me take a break. We'll be back after this, 24 after the hour, Dan Patrick Show. I'm just a chatterbox here today. Something amazing, and it's Discover matching all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. There's no limit on how much you can earn. That's amazing. It's even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. In fact, when we were on vacation, I used my Discover credit card. When it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Oh, the greatest rock and roll drummer of all time, John Bonham. We'll get to phone calls coming up. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. While we were on vacation, Michael Rosenberg, a Sports Illustrated senior writer, profiled Trevor Lawrence, the unrivaled arrival of Trevor Lawrence. And all of a sudden, there were some quotes pulled from that, questioning how much he loved football and awards and all of that while Trevor Lawrence was getting married this weekend. So Michael Rosenberg, kind enough to join us. Michael, preconceived feelings, ideas, notions about Trevor Lawrence were what going into that profile?
Basically, just that he was really good at football. You know, I was looking and there were bits and pieces, but yeah, he's still so young. I didn't feel like I really knew him. And at some point in the course of reporting, and I don't even remember where it started, I started to get this sense that he was just kind of wired a little different. And it was one of the first questions I asked him. And he's like, oh, yeah, I don't have that chip on my shoulder. And having been around the NFL for a long time, I walked out of there going, is this guy really going to be the first pick? But yeah, that's just who he is.
And I brought this up to Lewis Riddick last hour. I said, you know, it's not a coincidence. There are quarterbacks who love having that chip on their shoulder, that they'll carry it with them their entire careers. The last quarterback I remember who didn't have a chip on his shoulder felt like it was Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck checked out at age 29, decided he was not going to play anymore. So I don't know if there's a there, but I do think that it caught my attention that he said it. You might think it, but it's another thing to say it, Michael.
It is. And I kind of went through it with Trevor. I was like, because I said, people can take this the wrong way. And he said, yeah, I know.
Oh,
so
okay.
I thought that sense. He knew that would, I don't know if he knew the level of it.
So you warned him in the moment.
I did. And after I just said, this is what it is. And yeah, and it's in the story. Like he knows this is going to be twisted because I think that says something about him too, that kind of reinforces how he is, that he knew that there would be some blowback and he wasn't worried about that either. You know, he's not trying to shape the image. He's pretty comfortable with who he is. So I found that very endearing. What that means for him in the long term, I guess we'll see.
How much time did you spend with him?
I had about an hour plus the photo shoot and video shoot and then a few questions afterward.
Anything stand out aside from those quotes?
You know, I think what I took away from it as much as anything was he's very smart. He's very comfortable with himself and he's very comfortable questioning things. You know, he has such sort of a simple image of this guy who was just number one recruit, number one pick, marrying his high school girlfriend, very religious. And he's a lot deeper and more thoughtful and more inquisitive, I think, than maybe has been out there. And between he and Marissa, the dynamic there, you really got the sense these are kind of two equal partners. It's not just the quarterback and his pretty high school girlfriend. I mean, these are life partners. So there's a lot of depth there. It's kind of funny to me that this is all blown up because I feel like anybody questioning him right now, if they spent 10 minutes with him, would walk away and be like, what a great guy. I'd love to have that guy on my team. So I don't think the Jaguars should be all that concerned, but that was just my take.
But you know how it works, though, Michael. This, you know, time of the year leading up to the draft, he's been spotless. I mean, nobody's critiqued him. We just sort of said, well, that's Trevor Lawrence. He's in a different category. Now you can bring Trevor Lawrence back into mainstream, you know, sports world. And I think it was the timing of it more than anything else. But also that what stood out to me was when you talked about him getting married at such a young age, and that there are probably people who were critical of that going into this profession.
Yeah, and he said that too. He's like, people say, people say, what are you doing getting married? I'm like, they just come up and say that to you. And he's like, yeah, he kind of can't believe it himself. It's pretty rude. But he's like, what am I going to do? I'm not going to wait. I know who I want to marry, and I'm going to get married. So there is a confidence there that's not, it's not brash. You know, it's not that Johnny Manziel thing. It's not the Baker Mayfield, you know, I woke up feeling dangerous. It's just, and he knows how good he is too, you know?
Did you interview Manziel?
I have not. Oh, okay. I have never interviewed Johnny Manziel. I was waiting for him to reach his second year as a starter. We never got there.
It's weird how if you said, hey, your daughter is bringing home this person, not this is what he does for a living, this person, he would probably check all the boxes here. But it feels like in today's world, you know, we're like, I don't know. I'm a little skeptical here.
Yeah, well, it's true. And if you think of all the reasons guys fail, you know, marrying young and wanting to be with that person is not usually very high on the list. So it is different. But I guess my takeaway from it, like, this, is there a danger that he gets beaten up and retires like Andrew Luck did early? Sure. Would the Colts, you know, do they regret taking a phenomenal quarterback? No. I mean, I think there's risk with every single guy in the draft. I think Trevor Lawrence's risk is different from most, but still smaller than just about everybody else.
Have you followed up with him since the quote unquote controversy?
I have not. I mean, he did get married. I will do that with the family this week. And nobody has said anything negative about the story. Even when he tweeted this weekend, it was some people are misreading my comments. You know, he had initially, for whatever it's worth, shared the story on social media before it blew up. So I don't know what they think. I can't speak for them.
Are we taking anything out of context?
I'm sure you're not, Dan, but I think, I mean, a little bit. I've seen the poll quotes of, you know, he doesn't need the Super Bowl to be happy. And of course, people jump on that. If you read the story, it's different. I mean, there's never been a question about this guy's work ethic, you know, and this is, I guess, the best way I could sum it up. He doesn't go to, when he loses a game, it doesn't keep him up at night, but wanting to win does get him up in the morning. So that's different. Different from Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Drew Brees and all these guys. But as long as he gets up in the morning wanting to win those games and wanting to go to the facility and wanting to watch film and wanting to play through injuries and everything that's required of an NFL quarterback, as long as he does that, who really cares if he goes home and starts smashing things when he loses the game?
You're forever intertwined with Trevor Lawrence because these quotes, good or bad, are going to stand out 10 years from now when I have you on and go, Michael, can you believe we made a big deal over this? Or, hey, Michael, we were on to something.
I might be forever intertwined with him, but I don't think he's ever intertwined with me.
Great job, Michael. Great to talk to you again, and thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
That's Michael Rosenberg, Sports Illustrated senior writer. Yeah, it is about context. You know, I've done interviews before where I'm being profiled, and I'll say to the Danettes right after it's done, I'll say that guy was looking for something, or that guy was after something. This isn't going to work out well. And so I understand the game, because you can take one quote that I say. By the way, this is the second year anniversary today of us moving into the new man cave. And I celebrated with a puppy. Yeah, it was 2 years ago today we did our first show.
Yeah, we had a picnic with the firefighters outside and the firemen and the police.
Yeah, and then we had the band Twiddle came in.
Yeah, the
we
Twiddles.
We had a barbecue. Eric, the big German, did an unbelievable job. I think I nearly killed him because I said, hey, you got 3 months to get this done. He's been average ever since then. I mean, but before then, those 3 months, Big German did an unbelievable job. But yeah, 2 years ago today, first show in the new man cave. Yes, McLovin.
Sorry to steal Eric's thunder here. Quick point about the pull quotes.
Okay.
The thing is, the magazine decides which quotes to put in. When you do an interview, other outlets get a hold of the entire interview and pull what they want and frame it how they want. You don't have as much control after the quotes are given to you in an interview. Does that seem fair to say?
Yeah. I like what Michael Rosenberg said, that losing doesn't keep him up at night, but it makes him get up earlier in the morning. Like, that's the reason you wake up the next morning. I go back to Chuck Knoll, obviously, you know, one of the great coaches of all time. And he would say to his assistants, I want you to have a life. It's really important that you go home to your family and don't stay till midnight. Because coaches are famous for, you got to stay till midnight. We're going to outwork them. You're going to be here for 18 hours every day. And Chuck Knoll said, I want a well-rounded person in this job. And maybe that's what's foreign to us with Trevor Lawrence. Hey, I'm 21. I'm going to get married. What? You're a quarterback. You're going to be making millions of dollars. Okay. And this is the person I want to marry. Hey, he's never had a chip on his shoulder because he's always been great. It's not like he had to prove to anybody. I don't know what he overcame. I mean, that's really what happens. Aaron Rodgers had a chip because he thought he was going number one instead of Alex Smith. Joe Montana goes in the third round. Dan Marino, where he was drafted. Like all of these, you know, these quarterbacks will look for something. Drew Brees, famously, when the Super Bowl was in San Francisco and Drew came in and I gave him his draft profile, he got done reading it. And there are a lot of negatives in there. He said, can I have this? He wanted to have the printed copy of his draft profile. And then 2 years later, I see him and he said, I still have that draft profile in my locker. Tom Brady, you know, pick number 199. Never satisfied. Never going to be satisfied. Even when he retires, he'll still think about the two losses to the Giants in the Super Bowl. That's how guy Jordan famously had to recreate or create a rivalry. He didn't have some of these rivalries. Kobe did the same thing. I don't know if LeBron does. Bird did it. In all walks of life, like you're creating, like, I have to have tension here. I have to have somebody I don't like, somebody I want to beat, somebody I want to be better than. We all do it. I do it. You, whether you create it or it's real, you know that's why you come in every day. Or that's why you're going to do highlights this way on SportsCenter. You know, I wanted to be better than anybody at SportsCenter. Or Football Night in America, I wanted to be the best pregame host. Or doing this job. Like, you do it. So I get it. It's just weird when you have somebody who doesn't sound that way, doesn't act that way. Take a break. Phone calls next here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love watching the Dodgers-Padres this weekend. It was just fun. You know, I'm watching baseball on TV. I want to hear the crowd just because I missed it. It's like real crowd noise. And then you had real tension and maybe the start of a real rivalry between these two. I mean, the Dodgers are the best team in baseball, and I don't think it's close right now. But, you know, the Padres aren't afraid, and I love that. I look forward to those matchups the rest of the season. Let's get some phone calls here. Best and worst of the weekend. Jake in Illinois leads us off. Jake, thanks for holding. What do you have for me today? Hey, Jake.
Hey, best and worst of the weekend for you. My best actually goes back to last weekend with the Masters and Hideki Matsuyama becoming the first Japanese men's major champ. It was really cool to see him win that kind of after DeChambeau didn't really show up in that first day. And then my worst of the weekend and for the baseball season, I think I found your 2021 home runner bust team. It's the Chicago Cubs. They're tied for third in the league in homers, but the entire team is batting below the Mendoza line. And when the Braves pitchers are hitting better than your entire team, that's sad. I don't know what else to put it. And I'm a Cub fan. I know bad baseball.
Yeah. You know, it's once again, it's a home runner bust. It's just what baseball has become. You're going to swing, and if you miss it, it's okay. Jeff in Detroit. Hey, Jeff, best and worst of the weekend.
Oh, what up, though? One time for chat. Whoa, did you get a dog, Dan, by chance?
I got a puppy, Jeff. I got a puppy.
A puppy, excuse me. A puppy. It's a cute little fella. Tyler posted a picture of it. One time for chat, bro. Welcome back, fellas. Best of the weekend is going to be that game between Boston and the Warriors. Steph Curry is just, he's unbelievable, man. That guy has the heart of a lion, I swear. Really no worse. You guys are back in the studio, and I have a question for you guys. Coming back, what was the one aspect about vacation that you enjoyed the most? The fact that you don't have to get up at the crack of dawn, because I know you guys got to be in the studio super early, up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, or that you don't have to pay attention to your watch at bedtime. You know, you get to stay up and look at movies, because I know when I worked in the mornings, I had to put myself to bed.
No, I still did the same. My routine doesn't change. I was up early, and bedtime didn't change. I didn't have to set an alarm. That was the only thing. But no, nothing changed as far as my schedule. Yeah, McLovin.
Can I be honest? Like, I don't do great with free time. And when I have, like, the day off in my head, I sort of I kind of meander. I was, in a way, looking forward to coming back to work. Does that sound crazy or?
No.
Yeah, I was like.
I mean,
oh.
I did.
Yeah.
It's really hard because sometimes you have to stay as far away as possible because if not, then you, like, you want to be able to do this. You want to say, wow, what are we going to do for the show today? Or what guest would we have? Or what do I think of that topic? Like, you have to really gear up for that or gear down from that. Yes, he.
One of my favorite things about the week off, though, is waiting for Todd to start the, like, just dipping his toe in the, so what guests do we want? Because he's always, and I know, just knowing him, he's measuring, like, is Wednesday too early? Is Thursday too late? Should I start now? Is
you know
it Tuesday?
Me way too well.
Because this is what I know. Paulie's going to send me pictures of food.
Yeah. Yep.
And Todd will watch something that's on ABC. Network TV. Never anything on Netflix or Peacock. Nothing. It's always, hey, Celtics Warriors, ABC. Now, KJ might be an ESPN. And then you'll eventually go, hey, what are we thinking for Monday? And then you'll throw out a couple more suggestions, and then a couple more suggestions.
Some nurse that I like from Grey's Anatomy, I may sprinkle that in just so it's not all sports-related text.
Mike in New Jersey. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind?
Good morning. 61 years old, 6 foot, 205, still jacked. The worst of the weekend is the Red Sox, a little dose of reality, losing a doubleheader to the White Sox. My best of the weekend was last night on A&E, 2-hour biography on Stone Cold Steve Austin. Was a great show, and you were on it. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Yeah, I did an interview. I've done a couple interviews with Steve, and then they said they were going to do a documentary on him, and they had somebody come in and to the man cave, and we did that. I did that commercial at ESPN, and I really enjoyed him. I didn't know much about him, but I really enjoyed him. And then we did an interview with him a couple of years ago in New York, and he was a lot of fun. So I haven't seen the documentary, but I look forward to seeing, well, my parts, of course. Phil in Indiana's back. Hi, Phil. What do you have for me today?
Hey, Dan, always a pleasure. Welcome back. You got me thinking about the Hall of Fame conversation you were having, and I was watching the Golden State Warriors on Saturday, and it seems to me, obviously, Steph Curry, surefire Hall of Fame, but I think that legendary status that you were talking about, that would be more Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, but wanted to get your thoughts. Have a great week, buddy.
Thank you, Phil. Always great to hear from you. Yeah, Steph's a Hall of Famer. I'm going to guess by the time Klay is done, he'll be a Hall of Famer as well, and maybe Draymond Green. The NBA is far more lenient, and you're factoring in your college career. Now, Klay's college career didn't really stand out. I think he was like, what, 15, 16-point game guy, but we knew his dad. Draymond was known more because he was playing in the Big Ten and playing for Michigan State. But Steph Curry, man, he's still fun to watch. Final hour coming up. We'll give you our best and worst of the weekend. Also, this Super League with soccer. Could that come to college football? We'll discuss. Oh, by the way, Simply Safe Home Security. If you're thinking about home security and you want somebody who's not pushy, there's no contracts to sign, no hidden fees, you order it. It's delivered, you install it, no electrician, no technician, and you do it in 30 minutes or less. Yeah, where do you sign up? That's what I said. Where do I sign up? SimplySafeDan.com. You want to get sensors in there. You want a full arsenal. It depends on what you want, but you're able to install it. That's what's amazing about it. SimplySafe, it's easy to do. You go to the website, you see what you want for your house. By the way, they're going to throw in a free security camera. You customize your system with SimplySafeDan.com. Get that free security camera. 60-day risk-free trial. There's nothing to lose except for everything in your home. You'll love these people. SimplySafeDan.com. They've been partners of ours for over a decade now. SimplySafeDan.com, and tell them we sent you.